He needed to know what to do with these revelations that had been given him. Daniel needed encouragement. And he needed encouragement even though he held an important position as a prophet of God. Now, some of us, because we don't live in the age of direct inspiration where any of us have ever been able to get a word from the Lord directly from Him through the institution of the Holy Spirit, we can only imagine that if we had lived during Daniel's time, that if you were a prophet of God, that would automatically give you strength. We could veer off the path here and talk about other prophets of God besides Daniel, and it wouldn't take us very long to establish the fact that quite often the prophets of God were men exactly in the same position that Daniel is in. They were wasted. They had given everything. They poured themselves out before the Lord and before His people. And these were not men that were bastions of physical health and always encouraged and always upbeat and always positive and everything was always okay. Think of Elijah. Think of Jeremiah. Just keep on going down the line and you find that even though you may hold an important position as a spokesman for God, that does not negate the need for encouragement. Even the Lord Jesus needed strength when He was in the garden. You remember Luke 22, verse 39? Where as He was coming out, He went into the Mount of Olives. And as He was accustomed, and His disciples followed along with Him, He came to the place and He said to them, "Pray with Me, that we may not enter into temptation." And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and He knelt down and He prayed, and He said, "Father, if it is Your will, take this cup away from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Yours be done." And then an angel appeared to Him from heaven, strengthening Him. And being in agony, He prayed more earnestly, and His sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. There is no one who is the epitome of faith more than Jesus of Nazareth. And yet He found Himself needing strengthening. He found Himself disturbed. He found Himself wondering. Don't think that just because a person has an important position that they don't need encouragement. Don't be hard on yourself if you're a teacher and you're not getting the encouragement that you feel you need. Don't be so hard on yourself if you're a deacon but nobody notices the work that you put in. Don't be so hard on yourself if you're an elder and it just seems that nobody notices that this is hard to do. You still need strengthening. And it doesn't matter what your position in the kingdom may have been. And he needed encouragement even though he had experienced many past trials. Now it is true that our trials are supposed to strengthen us. But they do so in a roundabout way. You know, when we pray sometimes, "Oh Lord, give me strength." Do you know how that strength comes? By lifting more weight. That's how you get stronger. So we're a little bit disillusioned sometimes that the Lord didn't just give us an injection of strength like we get from the doctor if we went for a booster shot of some sort. The Lord will strengthen us, yes, but He will strengthen us and give us the ability to carry more weight by placing more weight on us. That's how a weightlifter does it, right? He moves from one level to another level because he challenges himself little by little. So it is true that trials can make us stronger. Trials can prepare us for more difficulties ahead. But that does not mean we need no help when those difficulties come. It was Paul who wrote these words in Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. He said, "Not only this, but we glory in our tribulations, knowing that our tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope." Paul said that trials produce perseverance, endurance, we might say. And yet the same Paul who had experienced so many trials still needed encouragement when he was imprisoned. You'd think, well, he's an apostle of God. He didn't need anybody to be encouraging him even if he finds himself in a prison? Oh, yes, he did. Look at his language to Timothy in chapter 4 of the second book, verse 16, where he says, "At my first defense, no one stood with me, but everybody forsook me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood with me and the Lord strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear." Also, he says, "I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for His heavenly kingdom. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen." You see, it does not matter what you endured yesterday. It doesn't matter what you went through 10 years ago. You're going to have some future trials, and when you have those future trials, you're going to need the help then that you needed 10 years ago, that you needed yesterday, that you've needed all of your life. And then may I suggest to you that Daniel needed encouragement, even though he had studied and trusted the Scriptures. Now, much of the Old Testament was yet to be written. In fact, Daniel's a part of that Old Testament record, isn't he? But it's interesting when you look back in chapter 9 of Daniel and verses 1 and 2 that Daniel mentions having read from the prophet Jeremiah. Well, Jeremiah is one of our Old Testament books, isn't it? And he said in verse 1 of Daniel 9, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem." Now what that tells me is that Daniel was familiar with the book of Jeremiah. He was familiar with the writings of that prophet. He knew that Israel's captivity wasn't going to just turn around on a dime. It was going to be a 70-year duration. And he believed what Jeremiah had taught about it. He had studied the Scripture, and yet he still needed strengthening when he felt these burdens upon him. There is a myth that says that if you are well versed in the Scriptures, you don't ever get discouraged. There was never a bigger lie the devil ever made anybody believe than that. You can know the Scriptures, yes, but you will also feel the pains of disappointment. And there will be times in your life where you will be let down. In truth, may I just say it this way? It may be that the more you know about the Scripture, the greater your pain will be because of your understanding. Beth and I thought this week about a circumstance that we acknowledged that there'd be some people that wouldn't think anything at all about this, but because we know what happens to people who walk away from the Lord, that we were in great distress over this person's soul when everybody around them thinks they're just fine. But because we understand what the Bible teaches about disobedience to God, we recognize that that person's going to be lost if they can't right their path, if they won't listen to reason, if they won't come back to the truth. You study your Bible. You learn and you apply God's will to your life. But don't ever believe that you will come to a point where you don't need anybody to encourage you, and don't be so hard on yourself when you do feel the need for it. Well, let me hasten this morning to tell us that Daniel received encouragement. He was expressing his distress to God, and God was faithful to encourage him. There was an angel who came to him and strengthened him by his words. And if you look at verses 18 and 19 of the text, it says, "Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me." You see, we know he got strength because that's what he says. He says, this helped me. This made a difference in the trajectory of my life. I was able to speak with the Lord. I was able to say, Lord, tell me what else you want me to know, because I'm strengthened now enough that I think I can handle more. Let me hear from you, God. You know, words have tremendous power. I wish we understood the power of human words. When Jesus, of course, not Jesus, but Solomon rather, in the book of Proverbs and chapter 25 and verse 11 said that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. He was saying something very important to everyone who communicates with other people. That just the right words at the right time, said in the right way, will make all the difference in how something is received. In the book of Proverbs also, chapter 18 and verse 21, the writer says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Words are the vehicles through which communication travels. It's the way an idea is expressed. It's the way a thought is conveyed. And the thoughts that were given to Daniel made him stronger. They fortified him. They lifted his spirit. It's good that God sent an angel to give Daniel these words, but the truth is, the things that he told him were true whether the angel came and told Daniel those things or not. And I say that, listen carefully, because I don't believe an angel is going to be coming to us and giving us any words. And so when we read what we read about Daniel here, we might glibly dismiss this and say, well, that's not going to happen in my case. I'm not going to get the relief that Daniel got. But what I want us to understand is whether an angel had come to Daniel or not, the truth would have still been the truth. And these things are just as true for us as they were for Daniel. The words of encouragement were several. Let's notice them briefly together here. In the first place, when we think about this, look at how Daniel is described. I can't advance my slide, but I don't know why. But just notice as you look in that verse, O man greatly beloved. There we go. Thank you. It must have been a comfort to Daniel to know that he was greatly beloved by God. Stop and think about that just for a moment. Somebody says, oh, you know, but God loves everybody. Well, yes, God does love everybody. But He loves some of us more. Don't you ever forget that. Yes, God loves the whole world. Yes, God loves every human because every human was created by Him. But there are some of us who have been born again. There are some of us who are His children by the blood of Jesus Christ. We mean more to God than someone who doesn't care about Him. We are beloved of God. We are greatly beloved. The New American Standard, this is the New King James on the screen, but the New American Standard says, O man of high esteem. That means that God thought well of Daniel, you see. This indicates that God had a special care for him, His approval and appreciation for all that Daniel was in the kingdom. God doesn't have that kind of love or that kind of regard for just every human being. But if you're one of His children, you're greatly beloved. Everybody's beloved, but you're greatly beloved because you're one of His. I love all of your kids, but there are three in this world that mean more to me than yours mean to me. I love all these little children. I rejoice to see them, but there are five little girls that mean more to me than all of your grandchildren. No matter how precious they may be to you. Daniel was loved by God. Don't forget that. When we're in need of encouragement, we recognize that we are the beloved. We are His special people, as Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. We are the beloved of God in this generation. When Paul wrote to the Roman church in Romans chapter 1 and verse 7, he said to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. And the word used for beloved in Romans 1 and verse 7 is the same root word that is used in Ephesians 1, 6 to describe the Father's love for Jesus. And so God loves us, His people, like He loved His Son, Jesus. And you need to see yourself as the recipient of the love of God. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 16 says, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." God's love gives us consolation. God's love gives us hope. God's love gives us comfort. God's love gives us stability. And so the next time we feel discouraged and disappointed, remember you are beloved, greatly beloved by the Lord. Take courage in that. And then what does He say? He says, "Fear not." The reason that He would tell him not to be so afraid is because God was with him. And when the Lord is with someone, you're not alone. When the Lord is with someone, there's nothing to be afraid of. And I think about episodes in Daniel's life where it must have seemed to him that he was all by himself when he was in that lion's den in chapter 6. Do you think he wondered what his outcome was going to be? The text tells us that he understood the presence of the Lord there. We have to realize that as well. Daniel had nothing to fear. Neither do we. In the midst of any crisis, we must remember that we serve the God who is in control, and we don't have to be afraid of anything. For He Himself has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Fear and discouragement usually walk hand in hand. And yet when the Lord is with us, we don't have to be afraid of anything. I think about Him standing there in the Sea of Galilee and saying to His disciples as He's walking across the water, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Oh, how we need those words to echo in our ears at times. What else does He say to Daniel? He says, "Peace be to you." God wanted Daniel to be at peace. That's why He told him not to be afraid. You can't have peace if you're afraid. And God wants us to be at peace, which means God doesn't want us to be afraid. The word for peace in your New Testament means to have quietness. It means to have rest. You can't have both peace and fear in the same heart simultaneously. Jesus, in the 14th chapter of John, on the night before He was going to leave this world, said to His disciples, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And all of us remember Paul's words, don't we, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 when he said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." If you have God's peace, then you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to grow discouraged. But then, in the fourth place, He said to Daniel, "Be strong." I don't know how many times in Scripture that's said to people, but it's said. It was said to Joshua, remember? "Be strong and courageous," He said. We love to sing that song that comes from that episode in Scripture. To be strong and to be courageous. It seems remarkable to me that the angel would repeat his words here. He says them twice. He doesn't just say, "Be strong," and leave it at that. He says, "Yes, by the way, be strong." Be doubly strong is the idea. It's as if Daniel is thinking, "Well, I'm weak. You want me to be strong? I can't do that." That's how we react usually when somebody says to us, "Be strong." We say, "I can't." Well, He says, "Do it anyway. You may think you can't. You can. Be strong." Yes, be strong. You can do this, Daniel. And Daniel did. And so can we. Sometimes when we feel so weak, sometimes when we feel incapable, it's then that God is able to do His greatest work in our lives. I've seen that over and over and over again. When we think we have nothing to offer, When we think we've done all we can do. When we think that we're a has-been. When we think that whatever we could do is not anything like what somebody else could do. Let me tell you, God is able to give us the strength that we need. Paul wrote these words in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10. And he said, I take pleasure in infirmities. I take pleasure in reproaches and in needs and in persecutions and in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. In other words, he quit depending on himself. And he started depending on God. And said, whatever good can be accomplished is not going to be through my strength. It's going to be through the strength that God gives me. It's going to be through what he's able to provide. And Daniel says, this encouraged me. Now, I don't know about you this morning. These words may not encourage you. I can't make it so that just because I've preached about this that everybody's going to walk away and say, phew, glad to have that burden laid down. I wish it could be that way, but I realize there's a little work involved in this. Daniel needed what God gave him on this occasion. He says it worked. And let me tell you that if you cry out to God and you call upon him as your Father and as your Creator and you say, I am down and I don't want to be out, but I am down and I need some help and I need some encouragement, I don't have any doubt in my mind that God is going to do for us what he did for Daniel. You don't need an angel to be coming to remind you of these things. Because God has spoken these things to us in his Word. And the next time we're discouraged, I hope you'll go to this place that we often don't go to. And we don't think about what it was for this prophet of God to grow discouraged. Because these words are for all of God's faithful children. They are for you. And if you're not among God's faithful this morning, why not? Do you ever grow discouraged? Sure you do. You're a human being. I think even animals get discouraged at times, don't you? But we have the capacity to know why we're discouraged. To know what discourages us. And so if we're not among God's faithful, the question is, why not? Do we need to obey the gospel? To put on Christ? To begin walking in the way that the Lord would lead us? That will help us to get on the right path, you see, to receive the Lord's encouragement, because what do we become when we're Christians? Greatly beloved people to God. People of high esteem. Because when he looks at us, he sees that we've been cleansed by the blood of his only begotten Son. That can't be said of every human, but it can be said of us. And what a special bond and relationship that gives us to God, especially when we need encouragement. We hope this morning that the things that we've said together today will be useful to us and helpful as we make our journey toward heaven.